Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans, not just here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, home of F101, but around the world. If you're hearing my voice, that can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. As always, we would start off this episode with a series of hot topics, everything you need to know in the world of F1. Well, it has been such a short turnaround that there is absolutely, knock on wood, nothing new in the world of F1 before the Singapore Grand Prix. So we're just going to get right into it. Full practice one, full practice two, Thursday and Friday, respectively, ridiculously early in the morning for us. Little bit of on and off weather for these guys. They got the full practice in for practice one and practice two. Like I said, they got the track in nice and rubbered. Tire temperature's a little bit of an issue. They can't really get the tires into the proper zone like they normally want to. See what they do in full practice three. Full practice three, again, these guys are slipping and sliding just a little bit. None of these guys, especially Red Bull, cannot get these tires in the proper temperature that they need. Track times a little bit lower than what they want to see, not quite as fast as normal. Not a lot of drama, thank God. No crashes or anything like that. A lot of impeding, a lot of traffic unnecessarily, just because a lot of these guys are oversteering or understeering or just sliding around the track in general. They just don't have the grip they need. Well, we get into Q1 finally a couple hours later, and unfortunately for these guys, the track conditions just keep getting worse and worse for them. In the few hours in between full practice one and qualifying, or full practice three and qualifying, it rains. It rained all of that hard work these guys put on the track, washed away all the marble, all the rubber. It's just another brand new track for these guys to run around. A lot of grip issues with everybody across the board. Low track times, a lot of hold your breath type of moments in qualifying, hitting those curbs, hitting those, drifting, essentially. It was Formula One drifting this weekend in Singapore. It was really great. They should make their own sideshow out of it. It was a little scary, a little frustrating for the drivers. You could hear it in their voice. A lot of complaining they don't have traction here. A lot of understeer. These tires are shit, so on and so forth. They just could not get the tires in the right temperature, which means you can't get the grip, which means some people that are out in Q1 probably should have made it to Q2 in my opinion. There was definitely two guys that should have made it into Q2. Unfortunately, they just could not make it. Not a lot of drama. A couple of close wall calls, a couple of sponsorship signage coming off the tires, coming off the walls. There was a couple of hairpin moments where you're going, Oh my God, what are you doing? Don't do this. Don't do this to me right now. You need to make this race work. All in all, it was a pretty exciting. It was totally successful. Let's get into the bottom five, starting from 20th and going up. Unfortunately for him, he is the new Logan Sargeant. Yes, this is how bad it has gotten. Kick Sauber, Joe Gagneux in 20th, Valtteri Bottas in 19th, Pierre Gasly in 18th, Lance Stroll in 17th, and unfortunately, Daniel Ricciardo in 16th. The way they were driving, Stroll, Ricciardo, the way they were handling the car, the way they were overcoming all kind of adversity with the tires and the temperature and the conditions and the track and the grip and all this kind of stuff together, Ricciardo and Stroll definitely deserve to be higher in Q1. They deserve to be out of Q1 and in of Q2, but I mean, this is racing. They just couldn't find what they needed. Not exactly a fantastic exclamation mark on the weekend for Ricciardo. Massive, massive rumors regarding Daniel Ricciardo after this weekend, but we're going to get into that a little bit later in the episode. Moving on, Q2, a little bit more of the same, a little bit more rubbering into the track with all these guys driving on it. The grip still really wasn't there, but you could tell it was finally coming into its own. The track was getting faster. The tires were a little bit more in the temperature window that they needed to be. A couple more marbles were thrown down from the tires as they went on from Q1 into Q2. A little bit faster in the track time. We're talking like a half a second to a second total not exactly, you know, like mind-blowingly fast speeds, nothing that's definitely going to set a record. And in my opinion, definitely in Q2, nothing that would show anybody who's having a fantastic weekend in qualifying or has the proper setup for Singapore. It's just kind of like survive as long as you possibly can, do the best you can, and hopefully you end up where you need to be. Unfortunately for some guys, it was a little bit easier said than done. Checo Perez, another stumble, doesn't make it out of Q2, qualifies 13th. And for all of his effort to qualify 13th, he went through two brand new set of soft tires. Now, when you're going through on any other track, any other weekend, any other circuit, any other circumstance, you go through two sets of soft tires. That's for qualifying for Q2 and winning qualifying in Q1. For Perez, he just did not have control of the car, sliding all over the place. Looks like he's been fighting the car essentially ever since midway, way before, like the quarter way through the season. Probably after Miami is when he started to really, really, really struggle with it. Turns out the floor on Perez's car and Max's car, not exactly the shape they want it to be in, but because Max kept winning so much, they just kind of left the floor the way it was. Not listening to Checo going, hey, we need to fix something. I think it's the floor. Come to, you know, six races left in the season, and oh, ding, 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 Checo was right. Unfortunately, when you don't carry as much weight in a team as Checo does, not a lot of people are going to listen to you, whether you've got a ton of sponsorship or not. When you're the second driver to the three-time world champion and the most dominant driver we've seen in a long time, minus Lewis Hamilton, they're not really going to take you seriously. So, unfortunately, Perez, again, like I said, stumbles again, 13th spot in Q2. Still not great grip for everybody else. It can only get better, right? Go through the bottom five in Q2 top, going from the 15th to 11th. 15th, Esteban Ocon. 14th, Kevin Magnussen, back from his one race suspension, qualifying in 14th. Checo Perez in 13th. Kalle Pinto in 12th. And Alex Albon in 11th. Both of the Williams having not a horrible qualifying session, but not exactly having the greatest qualifying session either. They were looking to capitalize on what they did last week, get into Q3, both guys being the top 10 for the start of the race. Unfortunately, didn't quite make it this time. Singapore Grand Prix, it's not a horrible track when it comes to passing. It's also not the easiest as well. They do carry some good speed in there. We're thinking like we're looking at 323 kilometers an hour. They've added DRS zones, so that makes it four. The only thing with this track is when you get into that rhythm, because there are only realistically four really good spots to pass, it turns into a bit of a DRS drain, which is what they were hoping to avoid by adding a fourth DRS zone. Hopefully, specifically for Williams and some of the guys that did a little bit lower down, like Kevin Magnussen, Checo as well, that you'd be able to catch some people, not unaware, but catch some people kind of lacking in their speed or confidence in the car that weekend to pass them in that other DRS zone. Getting into Q3. 8 minutes and 4 seconds in, Carlos Sainz hits the wall, brings out a red flag. Now, it wasn't his fault, but it was at the same time. Goes in for new tires because it's Q3. He doesn't quite have the grip. Gets new tires. New tires equaled slightly cold tires. These tires, Pirelli, not really a great weekend for them in general. Again, it's nothing but heat and temperature and timing problems for them. The tires aren't getting into the right proper window that they need to be in for temperature-wise, for grip, and for downforce and all that kind of thing. And it occurs, I mean, it happens in situations like this. So Carlos Sainz is going along, and he does, he's trying to warm up the tires. So you spin it a little bit, you do a little bit of a burnout. When he does this burnout, he goes from no grip to all of a sudden he's got nothing but grip, snaps the car doing left to right, goes into a 180, ends up backing into the wall. Now, he doesn't absolutely destroy the car, which is fantastic. He ends up destroying the rear wing, messes up the tires a little bit, but they don't need to do any major replacements on the car, which is great because just like a bunch of other drivers in Formula One as of right now, Carlos Sainz is pretty much at the limit of all his replacement parts for the car, which means if he does any more major damage to the vehicle, he will have to be getting grid penalties from here on out for the rest of the season. And the way that Ferrari is going and the way that Carlos Sainz is driving, it wouldn't demolish the rest of their season. It wouldn't take them absolutely out of contention. It would just severely hinder their last season, last push for the Constructors' Championship. He was okay. He did end up getting out of the car. He also ended up getting a 25,000-pound fine because to get from where he was to the stewards, he had to cross the track. Now, this is a stupid rule, in my opinion. It's been red flagged. There are no cars on the track. Yet it is illegal for a driver to cross the track due to safety reasons. That would make sense if there were cars going around the track. If you remember last season, Lewis Hamilton kind of did the same thing. He ends up smashing the wall. And instead of just waiting for them to call the race to give it a pause so he can cross the track safely or walk along the track to where the stewards are, he ends up crossing the track while there's physically cars on the raceway still, like on track. He gets a bigger fine, gets a $50,000 fine for unsafe driver safety, something along that line. That makes more sense than this. Carlos Sainz crosses the street or crosses the track down to where the stewards are, gets a 25,000-pound fine. There were no cars on track. There were nowhere near him. I don't think this fine is justified. I think it's just the FIA, you know, strutting, going, hey, this is, you know, this is our rules. You have to follow them no matter what. It's a fine. I'm sure he has that in pocket change on him. Like I said, he was ending up being okay. After the car was cleaned up, Quali 3 resumes. Okay, 8 minutes and 4 seconds left. Nobody goes out. Not a single car goes out on track again until 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in Quali 3. That is enough time for one warm-up lap and one full-out go-hard kind of lap. Does it make it more interesting? Yes. Does it make it also boring as hell to watch them figure out and see where they want to go and line up and wait? Yeah, absolutely. If there's 8 minutes left and it's me, yes, I'm going to burn through another set of tires. But if I have clear air and I have a track that's finally up to temperature and the tires are happy, why would I take any opportunity? Why would I miss any kind of opportunity to go out there? If I was Verstappen, okay, you don't have a partner in there. Perez is out, so you're going solo. But for Russell, for Hamilton, for Leclerc, for Yuki Tsunoda, like all these guys that are in the top 10, why would you waste this opportunity and just wait to the very last minute? That this just means you're driving against other traffic. Where if you're Mercedes, Russell and Hamilton, go out at the same time, go out as the only team there and literally draft off each other. Okay, so Hamilton does the first fast lap. George Russell's right behind him. And then you switch. Then all of a sudden, Russell's out front, Hamilton's behind him, and then you, or the other way around, Hamilton's out front busting the air, Russell's behind him getting a fantastic track time. Why not help each other out? But instead, everybody waits till 3.5 minutes left. There wasn't any impeding, which was great. It just made for a very hectic to watch final two laps from the top 10 drivers. Again, was it entertaining? Yeah, absolutely. Did we get some ridiculously fast track times? Yeah, absolutely we did. But I think they can come up with a better way of doing this. Maybe the FIA puts in a regulation where you have to be out with no less than 4 minutes left in Q3. Make them use up the time wisely. Make them get that practice in. Make them show the viewers that they actually care. You know, something along that line. We're going to go through the top 10, starting from 10 all the way up to 1. 10, Carlos Sainz. Because he ended up crashing, he didn't end up actually putting in a track time. He does finish 10th. 9th is Leclerc, 8th is Tsunoda, 7th is Fernando Alonso, 6th is Hülkenberg, 5th is Piastri, Russell and Hamilton respectively, Russell 4th, Hamilton 3rd, Verstappen ends up being 2nd, and Lando Norris yet again on pole position. He is absolutely rolling. That McLaren is breathtakingly fast. It is majestic on track at this point. It is music in motion. It's fast. It's secure. It's on rails, taking those corners. DRS zone, no one can keep up with it. Straight line speed, ridiculous. If you don't win in a McLaren these days, then you're really not trying. Now, folks, that can only mean one thing. That is right. It is race day. It is the 2024 Singapore Grand Prix. Sorry about that. We're talking 19 turns, 62 laps, 4.9 kilometers per lap. Top speed, 323.8 kilometers an hour. Fastest lap was Lewis Hamilton in 2023 with a 135.8. I can happily say congratulations, Danny Ric. new fastest lap, a 134.48 in 2024. Congratulations, Daniel Ricciardo. Remember this stat and remember what Danny Ric does, because this potentially could be the moment that saves Red Bull's season for the Constructors' Championships, but we're going to get into that in a minute. Let's get into the race itself. Everybody has been talking about Lando Norris can get on pole, but his starts are horrendous. He chokes. He is not good at it. He knows he needs to work on it. It's been told to him in the media and by other drivers, and he's constantly reminded how his starts are not good. Well, I guess he took that to heart, because Lando Norris's start for the Singapore Grand Prix was absolutely 100% epic. It was spot on. It was on point. He did it better than everybody else, and that essentially won him the race at the Singapore Grand Prix. The only reason why I say that is because the Singapore Grand Prix is another street version, but at night, of the Monaco Grand Prix. They mirror each other in a couple of ways. One, they are a very technical course. You've got really close barriers to the road. If you're not paying attention, you're going to leave your paint mark all the way down the side of the road and take some sponsorship signs with you. As well, it's not a lot of places to pass in the Singapore Grand Prix. Yes, they do have four DRS zones. It still doesn't help you any. It just adds another DRS zone for the DRS train that you can potentially get locked into. Just like Monaco with the Singapore Grand Prix, what really makes or breaks your race is your pit stop strategy with the other driver and how fast you do your pit stops. But like McLaren has always been, they're on point this season. They do not mess up this strategy whatsoever. Piastri had that big win last week. Guess what? Lando Norris, the same thing. This team is clicking on all cylinders. Very, very clean start for the Singapore Grand Prix. A little bit of dust, a little bit of damage picked up by some other guys. There was a flat tire. Nothing to really write home about. And this shows how fast this track is. This shows how fast Lando Norris was. By lap 7, he was 2.2 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen already. He was just absolutely running away with this race at a very fast pace. Temperature, mid-40s. This means your tire management and fuel management strategy has to be on point as well. Well, he knows when to push. He knows when to coast. He knows when to take the chances, and he knows when to relax. Lando Norris, again, he's going to be the poster boy of this race. He knew exactly when to do everything. He kept Max Verstappen well at bay. He just kept growing that distance, kept growing that time. By the time it was lap 17, he was something like 4.5 seconds ahead of him by that point. Unfortunately, lap 17, Alex Albon DNF, overheating the car. Perfect example of you push that car too hard because of the temperature on track and just because the ambient temperature in general, and you're trying to get all that track temperature into the tires, get that grip, you can easily outdrive yourself into a DNF in this race. Unfortunately for Alex Albon, he came off of points last week. Unfortunately for him, it ain't going to happen this time. A theme that we had been seeing throughout the entire weekend with every single driver, even though you had gone through full practice 1, 2, and 3, quali 1, 2, and 3, plus your formation lap, the track grip was still not fantastic in Singapore. It's not the track's fault. People like to blame that it's a very difficult track to drive because it's a street track. It's not exactly in the best condition. All very valid points, but the track condition is not horrible. It's not degrading like Miami the first year. It's in a better condition than most races on the calendar year. It's with the tires this race. Pirelli was just having a massive issue. The drivers were having a massive issue trying to get these tires up to temperature. The faster you get your tires at the temperature, the faster you're going to get better grip, which means you're going to go faster, which means you can take the corners more confidently, which means you have more downforce, which means you get more spots on the grid, more points, and potentially a win. If you can't get your tires into that perfect temperature zone, you're going to slip. You're going to slide. You're going to lose grip. You're going to lose traction. It's the same thing. You're going to lose track time and you're going to lose confidence in your car, which means you're going to drive more conservatively, which means you can potentially lose more spots in the race, less points, less sponsorship money, and your dreams of being the champion, whether it's driver or constructor, can pretty much go out the window. That being said, once you get in that zone, you're flying. You can absolutely do no wrong. Again, perfect example by lap 24. Lando was 18.3 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen. By that point, it was literally almost a second per lap that he was faster than Max. Max was still doing his damnedest. He didn't have any issues, no contact, no damage, no nothing. He was trying his damnedest, but he was in the loneliest race he could possibly have all season, just stuck in second, not being able to catch up. Another team, let's talk about another team that had another solid day. Qualifying, it was a little bit of here and there. It wasn't exactly amazing for one of them. Ferrari, another solid race. Good team play. They're helping each other out. Carlos Sainz was able to catch up to Leclerc. Well, actually, it was 9th and 10th. But as a team, they were able to climb the ranks in the top 10, which was fantastic to see. That's what you want to see. By this point, I mean, if they would have had... Let's talk about Sainz for a second. Let's backtrack for a little bit. Carlos Sainz still ends up finishing in a really good spot. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ferrari's issue at this point is they need both cars to play more of a role with each other, not against each other. That means not only in the race, but in qualifying. That means when Carlos Sainz all of a sudden bins it in Q3, qualifying 10th in a race where you don't really have a whole lot of places to pass. So their points in this race were almost limited to where they were in qualifying. Now, both drivers do end up climbing a couple of spots, which is great, but one can only think and wonder what kind of points were left on the table because of their really bad qualifying this weekend. I think they could have qualified at least 4 to 5 spots higher than they actually did. Both cars can definitely be in the top 5, not just the top 10, but they can definitely compete with Mercedes. They can compete with Red Bull. They're almost dominating Red Bull again at this point, and they're keeping up with McLaren just enough to still say that, hey, we're in this race. Hopefully the next race, they will be able to qualify a little bit higher. They need those points. They are on the precipice of becoming second team in the Constructors' Championships, not just third. The rest of the race, pretty much for everybody else, was just kind of damage control, and it was McLaren kind of flexing essentially. First and only pit stop for Oscar Piastri. He ends up passing both Hamilton and Russell on the same corner, one lap apart. That's how dominant the McLaren is, as well as kind of a bad strategy for Mercedes this weekend. Hamilton left really, really early with an early pit stop. He was not performing well on the soft tires, so he had to come in for pit stop like lap 17 or 18, where Oscar Piastri went 32 laps on the same set of tires. He ends up giving up his position to both Mercedes when he does a pit lane or when he does a pit stop, easily within 2 laps, gains it back and just dominates the Mercedes, leaving them absolutely 100% in their dust. The passing that Piastri is doing on the same corner, one lap different, shows he's not getting cocky, but he's getting very, very confident and very, very comfortable with his car. You can see him taking a little bit more chances than you saw at the beginning of the season. And this will be probably some of the more extreme passing you will see from him until the end of this season. But going into the 2025 season, I do expect Oscar Piastri to do some pretty heroic passing, also some pretty stupid passing, just because he's starting to feel very, very comfortable in his car. Meanwhile, in the race, Daniel Ricciardo makes it all the way up to 10th. He did very, very well after his not so fantastic qualifying, but then all of a sudden we have no idea what's happening. He starts to drop back until essentially he was absolutely nowhere in this race. He was irrelevant. He didn't matter in anything whatsoever, except for one point at the very, very end, and we're just about to get to that. By the time Perez, 10th place, he just kind of stayed there. Issues with bouncing and porpoising with the car. Now, we haven't seen a Red Bull porpoise in probably about a year since the issue first came out. It was a very, very quick fix for Red Bull. Adrian Newey, he was around back in the day when porpoising came, when they dealt with that the first time. Everybody else was super confused. They had all these young engineers. They didn't understand what porpoising was. They had to learn it from scratch. Here comes in old wise Adrian Newey going, oh, it's because of this. Fix it like that. And they end up doing it. the new upgrades they put on the car lately, though, all of a sudden we see Perez bouncing up a little bit more than we want to. Again, it's simple physics. The more you bounce, the less grip you have, because the driver has to slow down because he can't really see. It's hard on the car. It's hard on the body. Less speed, less traction, less confidence, less points. Pretty much where it ends up. Checo Perez does end up finishing in 10th, a little bit higher than where he was before, but it wasn't a great race for him. 10 laps to go by the end of the race. I mean, Lando Norris was 29 seconds ahead of Max. Now, was this a super dominant showing? Yeah, absolutely it was. Was it also Max realizing there's absolutely no point in pushing that car as hard as he possibly could? Yeah, absolutely. By the time the race was done, Lando Norris had slowed down. He beat Max by 20 seconds. He shaved 9 seconds off. It wasn't because Max did some, you know, mystical mystery laps and just was absolutely burning the track up. No, Lando Norris decided to slow down. His team was telling him, hey, you're this far ahead. Take a breath. Take a drink. Stay concentrated. You don't have to blow through the entire course. Just nice and easy and bring it home. And it's exactly what he did. Now, the part that's the most important thing. I mean, congratulations to Lando. You won a race. That's great. In the context of the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' Championship as well. More drivers than constructors at this point. Remember how I mentioned Daniel Ricciardo did one more really good thing, even though he was kind of irrelevant? So, top 10, when you get the fastest lap, you get an extra point. And for the longest time, Lando Norris had held the fastest lap of the entire race, which means he was going to get an extra point. Well, here comes good old reliable Danny Ric. Crowd favorite, Formula One legend, in my opinion, the honey badger himself, Daniel Ricciardo, takes an extra pit stop, puts on softs, does one regular lap, and then he just fucking guns it. Pedal to the metal. Not only does he take the fastest lap, he sets it by, what did I say, almost a second and a bit from 2023. But more importantly for Red Bull, and maybe job-saving for Daniel Ricciardo, he was able to take that extra point away from Lando Norris. It was the highlight. If you're an F1 fan, it was the highlight of the race. Yes, Lando Norris won his second race. Congratulations. McLaren is showing their dominance. That's great. But if you're a really deep F1 fan and you know what's going to happen at some point to Daniel Ricciardo and you've paid attention and you love him for what he does and you love him for who he is, this was absolutely he. And he also got the driver of the day too. This is the highlight of the Singapore Grand Prix and probably the highlight of the season if you're a non-competing team or driver. There's always a story every single year of this driver and that driver, and the rookies have been fantastic. McLaren has been amazing. Both drivers have really shown that they're grown up and that they can do what needs to be done. But the feel-good moment of the season, I'm putting this as my number one moment of the 2024 season, is Daniel Ricciardo just getting the fastest lap and showing that he is still worth what everyone thinks he's worth. He's been absolutely dicked around by Red Bull. Are you staying? Are you going? He was super, super confident coming into the weekend. By the time you got to the exit interviews, he had seen the social media posts. He had heard more of the rumors. And he's not conceding yet that he is done in Formula One. He hopes he's not. But this, for me, was the bright side of the Singapore Grand Prix, was Daniel Ricciardo showing that he can do what he does best, and that's fastest lap times and getting the record for the fastest lap on the track. Let's get into the top 10 drivers. We're going to go from 10th to 1st. 10th, Checo Perez. 9th, Nico Hülkenberg. 8th, Fernando Alonso. 7th, Carlos Sainz. 6th, Lewis Hamilton. 7th, Leclerc. 4th, Russell. Piastri was 3rd. Verstappen is 2nd. And Lando Norris wins his second race in Formula 1. He is 1st. So what does that do to the Drivers' Championships? Well, Max Verstappen is still in 1st with 331 points. Lando Norris is in 2nd with 279. Leclerc is in 3rd with 245. Oscar Piastri is in 4th with 237 points. Carlos Sainz is in 5th with 184 points. Lewis Hamilton's in sixth with 179. George Russell's in seventh with 155. Checo Perez is still in eighth with 144 points. Fernando Alonso is in ninth with 62 points. And Hulkenberg is in 10th with 24 points. Now, Constructors' Championship points. McLaren is still in first with 516 points. Red Bull is in second with 456 points. Ferrari is right behind them in third with 441 points. Very, very, very close point differential with Ferrari and Red Bull. Mercedes in fourth with 329 points. Aston Martin's in fifth with 82 points. V car is in sixth with 34 points. Haas is in seventh with 29 points. Williams is still in eighth with 16 points. Alpine's in ninth with 13 points. And the only team that does not have any points whatsoever is Kick Salva. They are in 10th with zero. Absolutely nada. And I do not expect them to get any points this season at all, period. Just the way the drivers, the cars, not necessarily the drivers, that's unfair. The cars they have are just absolutely not up to spec for the rest of the team. I feel very, very, very sorry for Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu. Let's get right into the stories of the race. First one that I had mentioned is this potentially the very last race that we will see Daniel Ricciardo in Formula One, at least this season. There are a couple teams that still have a seat open. There is still opportunity with Audi coming in 2026 that we might see Daniel Ricciardo back. But was this the last race that we saw Danny Ric? He, after the race, like I said during the interviews, he seems to think that this is going to be the very last time that we see him. There will be a change, that Liam Lawson will come in for VCAR for the next race. I hope this is not true. At least let him finish out the season. If he doesn't have a seat for 2025, at least let him finish out the season with his head held high. Daniel Ricciardo has been in this business long enough to know that he still has something left in him. Give him a good car. Give him all the upgrades for the rest of the season. There's only six races left. Just give it to him. Let him go out like the champion we all know that he is and the fantastic crowd favorite that we all know that he is and that he will always be. RB, if you're listening to this, Red Bull, VCarb, just give him the last six races, guys. Do not take that away from him. Next story, Ferrari only 15 points behind Red Bull with six races left. We have two sprint races coming up in the rest of the season, and they're only that far behind them. Red Bull, I mean, it's a tale of two stories. Ferrari is coming into, they're very consistent. They haven't been making any really bad mistakes. Their evolution's been very consistent, very on point, very A to B, which is great. Not a lot of fluctuation when they bring out a new point or a new upgrade. And that being said, when it comes to Red Bull, whatever they do is not helping them. Max Verstappen can only carry the team so long. 1 point from Checo Perez, again, is not helping them at all in this season. Is it too late for Red Bull to even hold on to second? They've already lost first. Will they lose second? I mean, I'm going to bet dollars to donuts. I mean, I'm going to say yes, that by the end of the season, Red Bull will finish in third spot behind Ferrari and McLaren. And Lando Norris, I mean, he is just, oh God, he's just killing it. He's always dominant in the last couple weeks, last couple races, qualifying, full practice, everything. He is dominant. He's taking the chances that are given to him. He's taking the opportunities and he's making the absolute best out of them. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can speak about that. McLaren is going, unless something catastrophic happens, knock on wood, McLaren is absolutely 100% going to win the Constructors' Championships, and it's going to be a glorious win, and it's definitely not going to be their last in before 2026, before the new regulations come out. I do say that McLaren, if they keep going on this trajectory, will win 24 and 25 and 26 at this point. Kind of up for grabs. Well, folks, that is absolutely it. That is the Singapore Grand Prix breakdown. I think it was an amazing race. What do you guys think? What are your favorite parts? What were the worst parts? Let me know in the comments section below. When is the next race? The next race is the U.S. Austin Grand Prix. We have almost a month before the next break. It is not until October 18th to 20th. Now, that being said, it is now officially a sprint weekend. Friday at 11:30 p.m. or 11:30 a.m. our time is full practice one. Qualifying for the race is 3 p.m. on Friday. Now we're looking at Saturday, 11:30 a.m. Sprint qualifying happens, and then the sprint race itself will also happen on Saturday at 4 p.m. And then we're going back to the normally scheduled program. Saturday at 7 p.m. or 1 p.m. sorry, is the actual race on Sunday. So it's a nice mid-afternoon race for the entire weekend. Austin is always a great track. The Circuit of America's really great view, tons of people, really good weather. The track is gripped in. It's one of the best, in my opinion, of the entire 24 season. And as always, I would like to thank all of our fantastic listeners for tuning in to F101. So thank you from all of us. And just remember, drive safe, and we will see you next time on the track.